Pastor Dr. W.F. Kumuyi.
The Lord bless you. The Lord impart himself unto you in his word in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for bringing us together for a good thing, to impart yourself, your word, the incarnate word, the inspired word, into every heart and life. And we pray that your word will be of great benefit to everyone, even tonight, in Jesus' name. Bless your children here. Bless your sons and daughters all over the world as we receive the word fresh from the throne of God. Thank you, Lord, for the answer. In Jesus' name we pray. We continue with our study in Exodus. And we're coming to Exodus chapter 12. I'm reading verse 13. Exodus chapter 12, verse 13. And the blood shall be to you for a token, for a sign upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague, the judgment, the punishment for sin shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. We've been looking at the dealings of God with the children of Israel, with the people of Egypt as well. He made everyone. He created everyone. Sinners, saints were made by him and were still under his sovereign authority. Some are open, clear, visionary to that sovereignty of God. They can see. Some are blind to the sovereignty of God, yet God is sovereign. God is creator, and everyone is under his sovereignty, his rulership, and his lordship. That's why he deals with everyone, and no one can separate himself and say, I have nothing to do with God. God has nothing to do with me. That would be like an Egyptian saying, we don't have anything to do with God, and he doesn't have anything to do with us. Yes, he has everything to do with every created man or woman, sin, sinner or saint here on earth. And he is the God of holiness and righteousness. He hates sin, and he says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Yet he makes a way of escape, that as we come to him and come through the way, the gate that he has set, we can escape the death penalty. And that is the important, essential thing we're looking at tonight as we look at Exodus chapter 12. Escaping death through faith in the blood of the Passover. The word Passover is there because God said, when I see the blood of the substitutionary lamb, the blood of the lamb that died in the place of every Israelite, everyone in the house, under the cover, under the security of the blood. When I see that blood of the substitutionary lamb, then I will pass over you. And when he passes over that house and all the people in that house, they have escaped the judgment of death. They escaped the death penalty because they believed. Moses declared unto them that this is what God has said to do. And they believed that, and they acted on their faith. And it is that faith in the blood of the Passover lamb that saved them and secured them and protected them and preserved them from the death penalty. We're looking at three things in the study here. Number one, observing the Passover without leaven. Number two, obedience to the precepts of the Lord. Number three is outpouring of punishment at the last. Number one, observing the Passover without leaven. In Exodus chapter 12, reading from verse 14, and this day shall be unto you for a memorial, always to remember, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever, as long as you live. Verse 15. In verse 15, it says, 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. Very clear. The Lord had made it very clear that in their houses, in their homes, and then you'll see now, in their hearts, they'll keep away leaven and everything that leaven represents. He wanted them to observe the Passover without leaven. We're looking at three things. Number one, put away leaven from your houses and join home with that. You put away leaven from your home. Number two, purge out the old leaven from your heart. Number three, we prevent objectionable leaven from his house. If it is not to be in our house, it's not to be in his house as well. Look at number one. Number one is to put away leaven from your houses. It makes it clear in chapter 12 of Exodus, verse 15. It says 7 days. The word seven, you know that there are 7 days in the week. And we count months in weeks. We count years in weeks. And seven is the complete cycle, because seven is a complete number. It's the number for perfection, for completeness, and it's saying in the circle of our lives, 7 days, ye shall eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven. Put away leaven. Put everything away. Put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. Look at verse 17. In verse 17, and ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in this selfsame day, as the Lord have I brought you, your armies, out of the land of Egypt. Therefore, because I brought you out, because this is my covenant with you, because of that shall ye observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. And then he tells us in verse 19, in verse 19, 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses, for whosoever, whosoever, high or low, whosoever, the one that is acting familiar with God or familiar with the ordinances of God, whosoever, the one that says, I'm so near to Moses, I'm so near to the high priest, and because of that, I can do, I can dare anything. Whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. Very clearly, we're to put away leaven from our houses and from the home. From the home, a home made of mother and father, of husband and wife, and children spiritually now, were to take away leaven from our homes. Anything that is not of God and not of the word of God, we should feed on, like false doctrine, like occultism, like evil power, like dependence on idolatry. We put everything away from our homes. In Deuteronomy chapter 16, we're looking at verse 3. Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 3. Thou shalt eat no leavened bread with it. 7 days shalt thou eat unleavened bread therewith, even the bread of affliction, that is, because it doesn't have yeast, doesn't have all that you are used to, you may not enjoy it at the first. It's the bread of affliction. And it says, for thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt in haste, that thou mayest remember the day when thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt, all the days of thy life, all the days of thy life. This is what to remember, that you are set apart unto the Lord. This is what to remember, a peculiar person with a peculiar covenant before the Lord your God. And all the days of your life already symbolized by the number 7. Completeness, perfection, totality of your life. You keep away from anything that God has forbidden. Away from your houses, away from your home. Look at number 2. Number 2, purge out the old leaven from your heart. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, reading from verse 6, from your heart, you purge the leaven out. You're glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Your glorying is not good. The people of God at Corinth, when they became born again at the first, whosoever is in Christ Jesus is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. When they first came to the Lord, they lived the exciting life of righteousness. Fornication passed away. Adultery passed away. Drunkenness passed away. Idolatry passed away. Stealing of any kind passed away. And then as they remained in the kingdom now, for some years, they grew thick skin against the thing they used to be sensitive to before. Any sin, any evil that passed by, they were conscious. If they saw anyone called the Christian doing anything evil, they were shocked. It destabilized them. But eventually they've seen it over and over and over. It didn't shock them anymore. They even joked with it. And they just smiled at it. There was a young man there in the Corinthian church that went into the father's wife and committed immorality with the father's wife. And the father knew about it. And the father took action. And the action the father took became open. So they began to talk about it. But they were not as shocked as they were in their earlier Christian lives. They just gloried in it. And they called the young man a guy. They called the young man tough. They called the young man bold. They called the young man audacious. And that's why Paul the apostle said, what am I hearing? You were not like that before. You are growing thick skin to sin. And he said, your glorying is not good. Don't you know that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Then he says in verse 7, purge out therefore the old leaven, that the old lifestyle that you used to do, that the old lifestyle that you rejoiced in. And he said, a little leaven will spoil your Christian testimony. A little leaven that you permit in your heart, in your home, in your life, will make your testimony of your salvation rubbish, useless, and unbelievable because of that purge out the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, look at this, even Christ, a Passover is sacrificed for us. In verse 8, therefore, let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness. You understand now the perspective of the leaven, malice, maliciousness, anger, hatred, animosity, infighting, diplomatic fighting, psychological fighting. It says, cleanse that up. That is leaven. It must not be in your heart. And then it talks of wickedness. Wickedness is cruelty. Wickedness is violence. Wickedness is suppression. It says, purge each out. It shall not be once named among you, ill-treating other people, hurting other people, harming other people. He said that is wickedness, and wickedness is leaven. It must not be your heart. It must not be your life. Purge it out. But it says, with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. It says, sincerity and truth, truthfulness, honesty must now characterize your life. Be sincere publicly. Be sincere privately. Be sincere when you are all alone by yourself. Be sincere when you are with other people. What you learn and what you profess and what you say you believe, live by each every time. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, it says, having therefore these promises dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves, purge ourselves from all filthiness or of the flesh. Filthiness of the flesh. Purge everything out, cleanse everything, and of the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. 2 Timothy chapter 2, reading from verse 21, it says, if a man therefore purge himself, if a person therefore purge himself, that's a duty, personal, that's a duty that we have to do by ourselves, for ourselves. We might have to do it on our knees, might have to do it and be very firm with ourselves and not allow the leaven to stick to us, to remain with us, so that we have a new life in Christ. Because we need to purge ourselves from all the filthiness of the flesh and all the filthiness of the spirit, perfecting holiness, progressing in holiness, going higher and higher in holiness, going deeper and deeper in holiness. And it says, in the fear of God. Now we purge ourselves from all these. It says, then the believer who does that shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet, fit, suitable for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Verse 22. In verse 22, flee also youthful lusts. Obviously, he's talking to adults who are no more youths. That's why he says, he captions them, youthful lusts. The lusts of the days of youth, of your past life, and the things you used to do when you were not born again. Now you are born again. Now you're a real child of God. And it says you flee. If you see that the old life, old lifestyle, old thoughts, old kind of leanings, they are coming back, flee from them. And take everything that speaks of the old life. Take everything away from you. Flee also youthful lusts. But follow righteousness, faith, charity, pure love, peace with them that call on the name of the Lord out of a pure heart. Your purge out the old leaven from your heart. Number three, Revenge, objectionable leaven from his house. Leaven that Christ objects to, that he mentions, that he says, I hate this. I object to this. I don't want this in the midst of the people of God, in the house of God. Revenge, objectionable leaven from his house. Matthew 16, we're reading from verse 6. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Now these were religious people. Pharisees were religious people. He even took the Old Testament so seriously, word for word, but they put traditional interpretation on the verses they read. And Jesus said, beware of the leaven of religious Pharisees. The Sadducees were also religious, only that they were liberal. Whatever they could not see or prove empirically, they said they'll not believe. They didn't believe in angels. They did not believe in miracles. They believed in the history of the Old Testament, that this person went to that place and Joseph was sold into Egypt. That one they believed. And Joseph became a prince, a prime minister. That one they believed. And that Moses came eventually to be the leader of the children of Israel. That one they believed. But anything dealing with angels, anything dealing with miracles, they did not believe. But they were religious, and Jesus said, beware, beware, and take heed to yourselves that you do not have the leaven, the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Look at verse 12. In verse 12, it says, then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees. As religious as the Pharisees were, they still planned, plotted, orchestrated the crucifixion and the death of Christ. As liberal as the Sadducees were, they still joined with the Pharisees to kill the Lord Jesus Christ. They had doctrine, but their doctrine did not prevent them from murder. They had doctrine, but their doctrine did not stop them from killing their Messiah. It says, beware of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. There are people that have doctrine, but they don't care. They can hurt. There are people that have doctrine, they don't care. They can beat their wives. The people that have doctrine, they don't care. They can hurt their husbands. They can put stumbling blocks in the place before the believers. They can hurt, they can harm, they can slay, they can kill. They can kill with their pen. They can kill with their charts. They can kill with their text. They can kill with their knowledge of the social media. They have doctrine, but they harm, they hurt, they kill, they destroy. They can scatter families. They have doctrine, but they can discourage people, stamp on them, walk on them. They can oppress, but they have doctrine. And Jesus said, that is the leaven of the Pharisee and of the Sadducee. It says, beware. Luke chapter 12, reading from verse 1. In Luke chapter 12, verse 1, in the meantime, when they were gathered together, an innumerable multitude of people, in so much that they trod one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. They knew a little about holiness, but even the holiness they knew, they added so much hypocrisy to it, so much pretense to it, so much covering to it, and so much dissimulation to it, that it was the hypocrisy that showed the holiness they profess, they show, they believe, really didn't show much to people. All that was under their hypocrisy. And Jesus said that hypocrisy is leaven. It must not be in his house. Mark chapter 8, verse 15. Mark chapter 8, verse 15. And he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Who have heard of that. And now, of the leaven of Herod, of the leaven of the chief politicians in the land at that time. The people who bring politics, place seeking, campaign for leadership into the house of the Lord. The Lord said, beware of the leaven of Herod. That Herod, he will hear and listen to John the Baptist as long as it's comfortable or convenient. But when John begins to come nearer home and says, it's not right for you to take your brother's wife, he'll not hear any further. He'll take that man and imprison him. As long as John is telling the people, pay your taxes, Herod will say, you know, that's my preacher. As long as John the Baptist was saying, don't take more than the salary you are given, Herod will say, that man is, you know, my man. He's a great preacher. As long as John will say, those of you that have two coats, give to another one, Herod will say, you know, he's nationalistic and he cares for the poor. But when he comes near home and he says, you know, it's not right for you, Herod, and not right for anyone to take his brother's wife, you've gone too far. Beware of the leaven of Herod. The people who hear the word of God, like politicians hear, beware of politics in the church of the living God. We're coming to point number two. Point number two, obedience to the precepts of the Lord. We're told in Exodus chapter 12, reading from verse 21. Exodus chapter 12, verse 21. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. Moses was prompt. What God had told him, immediately he came to tell the children of Israel. Moses himself was obedient to the Lord. He didn't take away any part of the word of God. He did not add any personal opinion to the word of God. He didn't tell them what they wanted to hear. He did not omit what they did not want to hear. He told them exactly what the Almighty God had said. And following after the obedience of Moses, the children of Israel too, they obeyed. Obedience to the precepts of the Lord. Look at three things. Number one, prompt obedience to the precepts of the Lord. Number two is perpetual obedience to the proclamation of the Lord. Number three is the preventable disobedience to the precepts of the Lord. Look at number one. Number one is prompt obedience to the precepts of the Lord. It tells us in Exodus chapter 12, I read from verse 22. In verse 22, it says, "And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out, none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning." In verse 23, "For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and upon the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer, will not permit the destroyer to come unto your houses to smite you." And verse 28. In verse 28, "And the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they." Now, they couldn't transfer their obedience to the next day because it was to happen that midnight. This midnight, the Lord said, "He'll be passing over the land of Egypt and also the land where the children of Israel live, Goshen. And if there was any house not having the mark of the blood, the destroyer will go in and destroy the firstborn in that house." No delay, because that very midnight judgment was to strike. And that's the reason why we too, we must be prompt. When he says repent, immediately we repent. When he says come, immediately we come. We do not know what will happen tomorrow, so we don't delay our repentance, our faith in Christ, our coming to Christ. We don't delay that till another day. Psalm 119 verse 60. Psalm 119 verse 60. "I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments." I made haste, I delayed not to keep thy commandments. He commands us, as we look at the New Testament, many commandments we have. Repent ye and believe the gospel. That's a command. Go home to your friends and tell them what the Lord has done for you. That is a command. You see what that good Samaritan has done to that man on the way between Jerusalem and Jericho. Go, do that likewise. That's a command. Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. That is a command. You'll not say, I'll obey that by and by, but I still need to do this with my sin partner. I still need to do that with my sinner companion. No. When he gives the command, immediately we obey. And when it says that what you do all things without murmuring, without disputing, that the command of the Lord, we don't say, I still have my way now. I planned, I'm going to do this, I'm still going to do that. No. Immediately, he commands us, we render prompt obedience unto the Lord. Look at number two. Number two is perpetual obedience to the proclamation of the Lord. In Exodus chapter 12, reading from verse 24. Exodus 12, 24. And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. Perpetual, perpetual, perpetual. The commandments of the Lord are perpetual. We keep on obeying and obeying and obeying. And the commandment of the Lord does not go out of fashion. Honor thy father and thy mother. That's perpetual. We don't say the modern day has erased that now. Thou shalt not kill. That's perpetual. It's the commandment of the Lord, and we render perpetual obedience. And thou shalt not covet anything that belongs to your neighbor. You'll not covet his wife. You'll not covet her husband. You'll not covet anything that belongs to your neighbor. That's perpetual. It's not that it was all right at that time, at this time now. No. And when the word of God says, thou shalt not kill, that's perpetual. The word of God is always there. And the commandment of the Lord is there from generation to generation. And what he had said, that there'll be no leaven in our home, no leaven in our heart, no leaven in his house. That also is perpetual. Matthew chapter 28, I'm reading from verse 18. It says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Then in verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations. This is a command and is perpetual. This one has not been annulled. This one has not been taken away. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Look at verse 20. It says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Teaching them to observe all things. There are some crops of new generation preachers coming up, and they say, you know what, we are for Paul. All that Jesus said, they say, what Paul has said as overreading, overtaking what Jesus said. Friend, Jesus, the Savior of Paul the Apostle, And whatever revelation Paul has, Jesus gives that revelation to Paul. And so you cannot say what Jesus said, forget about that. We are followers of the new revelation of Paul. But there are even those who have gone beyond, almost beyond the day of grace, and they say, Paul, well, they don't follow what Paul said, and they don't follow what the Holy Ghost has revealed to Paul the apostle. They have higher revelation. They put down Christ, they put down the Holy Ghost, and they put down Paul the apostle. But we cannot do that. The commandments of God, the precepts of the Lord, the proclamations of the Lord, they are perpetual, and we have perpetual obedience to the proclamation of the Lord, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And let the church say, number three now. Number three is preventable disobedience to the precepts of the Lord. Preventable disobedience. You know, well, we don't have to disobey the word of God. We can prevent it. Disobedience, we can prevent that. God knows we can. God knows they could. The children of Israel, put away all leaven from your houses. They could. There's no point saying, Lord, we cannot. Okay, you cannot. What will God do? Come and take the leaven out of the houses for you. Come and take away your dustbin for you. Come and sweep your house for you. You can. Disobedience is preventable because it's coming from the heart. It's coming from your will. And when you yield your heart and you yield your will unto the Lord, you will obey the Lord. We're told in Exodus chapter 12, verse 22. Exodus chapter 12, verse 22. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. You can do that, so do it. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. You can, so do it. Don't say, well, the Lord has said everybody should stay home in the night and nobody should go out. Well, I cannot stay. But you can. I have to go out. No, you don't have to. All this disobedience that people render, we can prevent it. You can prevent it. It's in your will. When you have heard the word of God, for example, very simple, we come to study the word of God. And studying the word of God demands we sit down like everybody else is sitting down. And we're opening our Bibles, and we're reading, and we're listening. If any other person can do it, you can do it. And so for somebody, while the Bible study is going on, because the preacher said, sit down, listen to the word of God, just because he says it, I will stand up. And I will walk out. I will show him that I will not sit down. My friend, you know, you can prevent that. We can walk together like teacher and student. We can walk together like leader and disciple. We can stay together like father and son, like father and daughter. We can, because disobedience is preventable. And you know, brothers and sisters, it's a very simple thing, because you know, when we disobey, very simple instruction that we can prevent. When we're not together, you already formed the habit of disobeying the word of God, even when we're together. So when you are by yourself, you'll keep on disobeying, because you have entrenched yourself in that kind of disobedience, which is preventable. God, give us understanding in Jesus' name. And so, this was something they were to do. They were to stay indoor. They were not to go out of their houses until the morning. Look at verse 23. In verse 23, the Lord will pass through and smite the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood upon the lintels and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer, will not permit, will not allow the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. We come to point number three. Point number three, outpouring of punishment at the last. At the last. Finally, the threatened and the pronounced judgment came. In Exodus chapter 12, reading from verse 29, and it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on the throne, unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. In verse 30, and Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. Look at three things here. Number one, the predicted midnight cry of the unrepentant. Number two, the punishable, mindless crimes of the unrighteous. Number three, the promised merciful covering for the undefiled. Number one is the predicted midnight cry of the unrepentant. It had been predicted. The Lord had warned them even before this time that there'll be a midnight cry, that the punishment will come unto the unrepentant. Well, it happened to them as it was prophesied. And there is still the prediction, the prophecy, that at the end of time, judgment will come. And those who are repenting will escape the judgment of the Lord. But those who do not repent, those who are deliberate in their disobedience, those who are deliberate in their rebellion, those who are deliberate in their stubbornness, and they say, no, we're not going to repent. And if you don't repent, there's no way to be saved. If you don't repent, there's no way to be born again. If you don't repent, there's no way for your name to be in the book of life. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And so the predicted judgment of the world is coming. Isaiah chapter 13, we're reading from verse 9. Isaiah chapter 13, reading from verse 9. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, and to lay the land desolate. And he shall destroy the sinners, habitual sinners, the sinners, unrepentant sinners, the sinners, stubborn sinners, thereof out of it. Look at verse 10. In verse 10, for the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause a light to shine. 11, in verse 11, and I will punish the world, the world of sinners. I will punish the world, the world of sinners, of occultism, the world of drunkards, and the world of rebellious people. I will punish the world, the world of occultic people. I will punish the world for their evil, and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogance, the pride of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. Verse 12, I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir. In verse 13, therefore I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts, and in the day of his fierce anger. Judgment is coming. There'll be a separation between the righteous and the unrighteous, a separation between the saints and the sinners, and the sinners who die unrepentant, and they die in their sin. And it's no little sin. The sinners who die in their evil, they'll suffer forever and ever. Number two, if the punishable, mindless crimes of the unrighteous. Crimes, those who perpetrate crimes, they're mindless. They don't apply their mind to the truth. They know. They don't apply their mind to the scriptures they have heard. They don't apply their mind to the greatness of God. They are thoughtless, they are not thoughtful. They are mindless, they are not mindful. They are inconsiderate. They do not consider that the God of heaven has given us his mind, has given us his word, and he wants us to be obedient to that word. Because of that, their mindlessness is punishable. In Jeremiah chapter 9, reading from verse 8. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 8. Their tongue is as an arrow shot out, it speaketh deceit. One speaketh peaceably to his neighbor with his mouth, but in his heart he layeth his wage. Verse 9. In verse 9, shall I not beseech them? For these things, says the Lord, shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, reading from verse 2. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 2. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. In verse 3. For when they shall say peace and safety, then shall sudden destruction come upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But today is still the proclamation of the mercy of God. Today there is still the offer of the grace of God. Number three is the promised merciful covering for the undefiled. When you keep yourself and you remain under the cover of the provision, the propitiation of the blood of the Lamb, then there's still protection, there's still salvation. Exodus 11, reading from verse 7. In Exodus 11, verse 7, but against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue, against man or beast, that he may know how that the Lord does put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. How the Lord puts a difference between a sinner and a saint. How the Lord puts a difference between a deliberate sinner and a consecrated saint. You will know how the Lord puts a difference between a repentant soul and a rebellious soul. He protects and he promises redemption. He promises salvation. He promises that there will be forgiveness and freedom from sin for the people that come for his grace. But he promises judgment, fiery judgment, indignation and wrath for the people that live and abide and remain deliberately in their sin. Those who take joy and they take delight in doing evil and in offending the goodness, the grace of God. But it's promised merciful covering for the undefiled. Exodus chapter 12, reading from verse 13. Exodus chapter 12, verse 13. And the blood of the Lamb, the blood that was shed and the blood applied. The blood shed, the blood appropriated. We appropriate when we take that blood and we strike it upon the lintel of the house and upon the side post as God had commanded. It's not enough for the Lamb to die. It's not enough for the blood to be collected into the basin. The blood must be applied. Christ has died, and Christ has shed his blood. We must have faith in the blood that Christ shed. Turn away from sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ that died for you. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. He can only see the blood when you apply the blood by faith. I believe the word of the Lord. I believe that judgment is coming. I believe that the angel of death will pass over the land that night. I believe that what he had said by servant Moses will be fulfilled, that when he sees the blood, he will pass over the house where I am. And because of that, I applied the blood. I will pass over you. And the plague and the punishment, the destruction, shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Look at verse 23. In verse 23, and the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood, when he seeth the blood, and the Lord himself that will check up. And on the final day, when we all appear before the Lord, it's not an angel that will check up in the book of life whether your name is there or not. It's not a preacher. It's not a human being, even though that human might have gone to heaven. It's not the human in heaven that is going to check up the books whether your name is there or not. It's the Almighty God himself. And because he doesn't delegate this to anyone, there is not going to be any mistake at all. And it says, and I will not suffer or permit the destroyer to come in into your houses to smite you. I pray today, when the mercy of God is still available, I pray that today, when the salvation of God is still offered, every one of us, without exception, will take the privilege, the grace, and will be saved in Jesus' name. In Isaiah chapter 26, and I'm reading from verse 20, Isaiah chapter 26, verse 20, come, my people. That's a word of action like we've ever always learned. Come. We need to come to the Lord. We need to come with all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind. We need to push every other thing aside. We need to think on his word, meditate on his word. We need to consider. He speaks to me. He calls me. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself as it were for a little moment until the indignations be overpassed. In verse 21, for behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth. Punishment is going to reach every nation, every country, every community. Is going to reach every tribe. Is going to reach every tongue, every kindred. The Lord is coming out to punish. the sinners, the inhabitants of the earth, for their iniquity. And the earth also shall disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her slain. But while the Lord is calling, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come today, be saved. Come today, be sanctified. Come today, have the power of the Holy Ghost in your life that will grant you the enablement to always obey the word of the Lord. There's blessing in obedience. There's destruction, there's fiery indignation against every disobedience of man. Come, the blood hath been shed for you. And as you apply the blood, appropriate the blood, believe in the blood of the Lamb. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Amen. Let's rise up and talk to the Lord in prayer. We've heard, for the Lord has come to reveal today. Appreciate his revelation. Believe his revelation. He's come to you. He loves you. That's why he reveals his mind to you. Open up your heart. Open up your understanding. Consider what you have learned. And let the word benefit you, your spiritual life.